This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. A dozen people in an extended care facility in Anchorage have tested positive for COVID-19. Those infected with the virus are a mix of residents and caregivers at the Providence Transitional Care Center, a skilled nursing facility in Anchorage. They're among 27 new Alaskans that state health officials announced had the virus on Sunday. It's the largest single-day spike in cases since Alaska first started tracking the spread of the virus in March. During a Sunday press conference, Providence Health and Services Chief Medical Officer Dr. Michael Bernstein says the hospital learned Friday that one resident had developed symptoms. So, over the weekend, they tested all of the residents and staff in the facility.
We were hoping we could prevent this from happening, but we know that this is a highly transmissible or contagious virus, and the real challenge is that people can be very infectious when they're asymptomatic or before their symptoms develop.
The state chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, says the virus continues to spread through south central Alaska, particularly in the Matsu Borough, Anchorage, and on the Kenai Peninsula. As contact tracers are interviewing people, they're noticing trends, Zink says. People are getting sick after getting together in large numbers.
It's impressive when we see this disease, how sneaky it can be, and it can really spread amongst larger groups of people, 20, 30, 40 people getting together for a celebration, spreading, and then people going to work sick, and then how it can spread from there.
She says it's important for Alaskans to remember to limit the number of people they come in contact with. Despite the jump, Governor Mike Dunleavy says his administration doesn't plan to change its trajectory in reopening the state fully. A young girl from Quinnahock who tested positive for the coronavirus last Tuesday was likely not carrying the virus. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation believes it received a false positive from a rapid test administered to the child when she flew into Bethel for medical care. The girl, who is under the age of 10, was tested a second time with a test that was sent to a state lab. These lab results take a few days to process, and results received on Friday came back negative. Hours after the results came back from the first test, YKHC flew a response team to Quinnahock to test the close contacts of the child and to offer community-wide testing. About 350 people, approximately half the village population, volunteered. YKHC used rapid testing and then followed up with swabs to be sent to the state lab. All rapid test results came back negative. YKHC urges the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta residents to remain vigilant in their protective measures to slow the spread of the virus by physically distancing from non-household members, regular hand washing, wearing a face covering in public, and regularly disinfecting surfaces in your home. YKHC also urges everyone to take a free coronavirus test outside the Bethel Alaska Airlines terminal when arriving from out of the region. And in fish news, this morning at midnight, the lower Kuskokwim River, along with certain tributaries, closed to gill nets. The conservation measure is aimed at allowing the initial push of king salmon to make it to the headwaters. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur has more details about these restrictions.
The closure will last through June 11th. It bans gill nets in the Kuskokwim main stem from the river's mouth to the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge boundary at Aniak. Salmon spawning tributaries are also closed to gill nets. All other tributaries are closed to gill nets from their confluence with the Kuskokwim to 100 yards upstream. There are three set gill net openings scheduled so far during this period on June 3rd, June 6th, and June 9th. Each opening will last 24 hours from 11 a.m. to 11 a.m. Set gill nets must be 6-inch or less mesh and may not exceed 60 feet in length, 45 meshes in depth, and may not be operated more than 100 feet from the ordinary high water mark. All set gill nets must have an attached keg or buoy with the fisherman's first initial, last name, and address. The main stem remains open to selective gear, including hook and line, fish wheels, dip nets, and beach seines. King salmon caught with this gear can be kept for harvest in the main stem, but not in the salmon spawning tributaries. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, in consultation with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, is managing the lower Kuskokwim River from the mouth to the refuge boundary at Aniak. Managers are aiming for 121,000 king salmon escaping to their spawning grounds, with the target for subsistence users to harvest 106,000 kings. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And federal officials say engine failure caused an Alaska State Forestry plane to crash during takeoff in Aniak. Clint Johnson, regional chief for the National Transportation Safety Board, says the Aero Commander 500 Shrike had stopped in Aniak to refuel before heading to Sedalia. The aircraft crashed into a pool of water in a gravel pit near the end of Aniak's runway. Division of Forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry says the pilot and three passengers on board survived with non-life-threatening injuries. Three of them, including the pilot, are still in the hospital as of Friday. The Division of Forestry employed the pilot, and the three passengers were seasonal firefighters from Hooper Bay and Aniak, also employed by the state during fire season. The four were on their way to Soldotna to provide backup support for wildland firefighters in that area. Tim Mowry says the region is under high fire danger. NTSB expects to have a preliminary report out in 2 weeks. And finally, the city of Bethel will be receiving $8.4 million in CARES Act funding from the federal government. But the city can only spend it on COVID-19-related expenses. The funds cannot be mixed with the normal operating budget, even though the city is expecting hundreds of thousands of dollars less in sales tax revenue this year because of COVID-19. KYUK's Greg Kim talked to city officials about how they plan to manage both budgets.
City Manager Vinny Carranza says a formula based on Bethel's population determined how much the city would receive in CARES Act funding, $8.4 million. That amounts to almost 80% of the city's yearly operating budget. According to the CARES Act, Bethel must spend every dollar within 7 months, before December 30th of this year. Any money the city doesn't use by that time must be returned, something City Manager Vinny Carranza doesn't want to do.
I do not like to give federal money back. Our senators worked hard to give Alaska, its share.
But Councilmember Mark Springer says it's probably more realistic to expect some money will be left over.
I don't think there's any way that we're going to be able to spend $8 million on COVID-19 planning, preparation, and response between now and December 30th.
The CARES Act spells out that these funds can only be used for expenses caused by the COVID-19 public health emergency. Carranza says, for example, the city couldn't use it to hire more general assignment police officers, whereas it could pay police officers dedicated to responding to coronavirus calls.
So it has to be related to COVID-19.
City Attorney Libby Bacalar says if the city breaks the rules and uses the funds on non-COVID-19 expenses, it could be fined up to 3 times the amount it is found to have misspent. Springer says the city should have its accountant and attorney on speed dial to make sure any purchases made with CARES funding can pass an audit.
There are going to be an awful lot of auditors working very hard for years after the pandemic is over.
Mayor Perry Barr says the city has already spent $75,000 to keep the Bethel Winter House open. He expects that amount to be reimbursed with CARES money. He also suggested the city could stock up on personal protective equipment.
That's a lot of PPE for the amount of money that we have.
Carranza told the city council Tuesday that he would implement a cab voucher program for elders paid for with CARES funding. It would allow elders to take cabs by themselves without picking up other passengers. The elder would pay the normal flat rate cost and give the cab driver a voucher that would compensate for not picking up additional passengers. Carranza says he hopes to implement this program by June 1st. He also wants to use the money to purchase and renovate 2 buildings, one to use as a quarantine shelter and the other to use as an emergency operations center for the city's staff to respond to future COVID-19 outbreaks. Another idea is to provide residents extra water deliveries for free.
Because of hand washing and sanitation, residents need to order extra water. So that is definitely COVID-related.
But $8.4 million in 7 months requires a lot of spending. And Carranza says he's open to anyone's ideas.
I do plan to have some sort of a forum to solicit input from the public.
Carranza says he'll schedule a town hall sometime in early June, and he plans to have an itemized budget to submit to the state for approval by July 1st. Assembling that budget may be difficult because the city is without a sitting finance director or assistant finance director. After former finance director Christine Blake quit last Friday, Carranza named himself acting finance director and appointed an acting assistant. He says he will use the CARES funding to contract a bookkeeping firm to help him keep track of the CARES budget, which he says needs to be kept independent of the city's normal operating budget.
Like a separate accounting system and staffing, because I don't want the money to be commingled.
While the CARES budget may have too much money, the city's operating budget has the opposite problem. Too many expenses, not enough funds. Carranza says the city is expecting a 10% drop in sales tax revenue this year, a loss of about $700,000.
due to COVID-19, there's less travel, people aren't going to the store and buying things. So yes, we do anticipate a decrease in taxes and revenues.
And that deficit can't be filled with CARES funding. Although the city council has not yet approved the budget, Carraza says his general plan is to make up the difference by eliminating raises for employees and postponing proposed road projects. Council is also considering taking some money this year from the general fund, a fund built up in budget surplus years. According to the city staff, the general fund currently has millions of dollars in it. Council will have to approve the finalized budget before the deadline of June 15th. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukden coming up.